Welcome back to Basic Crypto. My name is Connor Olstead. Today we are talking about really what differentiates different coins. Like how do these things differ from each other? In a world where we have kind of a sway towards the meme coins like Dogecoin and Shiba Inu and now this new coin called Bonk, people really kind of get a misconstrued understanding of cryptocurrency and where it is good for the world because they just are essentially thinking that it's a pump and dump scheme. There's a bunch of, it's a pyramid scheme that these things don't have utility. They just shove a bunch of money in, the price goes high, and then they take their money out. That is not at all the way that I see cryptocurrency. If crypto is a thing, then there's a lot of different, why are there so many different coins, right? Why is it that you need all of these different coins? And to be honest, you don't. If you look at the differences of these coins and the difference of the utility coins, they do serve different purposes. And now back up, Connor, what do you mean by utility coins? The way that I look at it, you have coins that really just are a store of value and you need users in order for it to like function. And really in reality, that is what Bitcoin is. It's Bitcoin, if you want to put it into one sentence, it's digital gold. Okay. Because it has shown its inherent value to the world. People store their money in it and eventually will trade it out for something that has that equal level of value to them. Just like gold. At one point in time, they said, okay, this thing is rare, gold, so we're going to make sure that it essentially is storing our value. And obviously, gold has different functions. It's in our cell phones. It's, you know, it's used in different ways. And Bitcoin does have different functions. But for the sake of the analogy, Bitcoin is digital gold. That's really what it is. And so we have coins that need users to function. And then we have coins that solve problems. And there are, you know, and I'm simplifying it into my own terminology, but the coins that solve problems, their value is not necessarily based on their price, but it's based on their function. And because when you think of value, a lot of people think of what does this mean for the dollar? But that's really the wrong way to think of cryptocurrency because in reality, it's just like a dollar. Like the dollar has a value of some sort or a function, and it is to trade items or services or hours or whatever it might be, right? It's an equilibrium of value that everybody agrees upon. Well, in the crypto world, that's the same thing, and we are comparing it to the dollar, but you know, it's entirely possible that in the future, that function, the function that they hold is going to be the value that is traded and not necessarily the dollar value that they hold because of the function that they have. If I've lost you already, I'm going to get into kind of some examples here. But one thing I like to think of is like put yourself back in middle school and you have to, for your test, you have to bring a number two pencil. Everybody is friends with the guy that brings a pack of number two pencils, because me, of course, as a young kid, I'm going to forget that. So I'm going to have a pen. I'm going to have a not number two pencil. I don't know, or a mechanical pencil that's not number two. But you need one for that test and you can't go back out to your locker to get it. So the value of that number two pencil just skyrocketed, just like some news comes out about some coin or whatever. And the value of it skyrockets because it no longer is. You can't go back to your locker. You can't go back and recreate that coin. You can't go back, whatever. And so that, boom, that number two pencil now has value, but it's just because of its function. It's not because necessarily of its price. Another one is I'm in kind of a retro gaming phase, N64. Okay. And really everything Nintendo. Once you get to like 20 years after that Nintendo whatever has come out, the value for some reason skyrockets, and it's because of the nostalgia. That N64 cartridge or whatever has served the same function the entire time, but the value of it went up because of the scarcity. Okay, thinking of Bitcoin, because of people jumping onto it, wanting it all at the same time. Okay, just like, you know, these different spikes that we have in the crypto market. So I hope that makes a little bit of sense. But now I'm going to kind of go into explaining some of what that utility is. But before I get into that, I want to say if you have any questions, you can hit me up on Twitter, send me a private message at Connor Olstead. Leave a comment below. Follow us on all the different social medias. We got Instagram, YouTube, obviously on different Spotify and Apple Podcast platforms. But wherever you guys, you know, wherever you follow us, thank you. Make sure you follow us elsewhere so that you never miss when a basic crypto is coming out. So utility means what, like what problem does it solve, right? Why does this thing exist? How does it differentiate from everything else? And we're not looking at it necessarily for the value of the price, but we're looking for it for the value of the function. For example, XRP, Ripple. Ripple Labs created XRP. What is that utility of that? And it has a lot of different utilities. It is a growing platform. A lot of XRP enthusiasts would be, you know, are going to be very picky about the certain things that I say, but originally or for a major portion of what it does is cross-border payments, right? A lot of money is moved across borders, like billions of dollars every day. And the technology that is used for it is used to essentially track all that money. It was made in 1972. It's called SWIFT. And to be honest, in the world of technology, that's kind of archaic. Like, you know, what are we coming on 60 years, over 60 years of that stuff, 50 years of that stuff being there. And it really needs to be updated, especially now that we have a way to transact instantly with cryptocurrency. We don't need to be waiting 10 days in order for billions of dollars to settle on the transaction and for things to go back and forth. So XRP essentially is there to fix that issue. It's cheap, it's energy efficient, it's made with banks in mind. It's not necessarily, I mean, it is made with the end user in mind and regular people, but the target market is banks. And so that's obviously how it differentiates from Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin is like super like energy hog, you know, there's a smaller amount where there's XRP has 100 billion coins, you know, Bitcoin has only 21 million. So big differences there obviously shows why something like that exists. Quant, QNT is what it's called. As Ethereum grew super big and super popular, the creators of Quant saw that, hey, all these Ethereum blockchains or these blockchains that are based on the Ethereum or that are on the Ethereum network are going to need to get connected somehow, right? Different people are going to have to communicate or different blockchains are going to have to communicate with each other. And so Quant is the coin that essentially solves that. If you need to transfer from one blockchain to another or connect a blockchain, Quant is going to help you do that. HBAR is another one. Hedera Hashgraph is the long name for it, right? HBAR is the ticker. HBAR is actually the code that is used to create that blockchain is patented because of how unique it is. And it solves a lot of problems. It's very quick. It's very fast. And a lot of things that with regular hash graph blockchains or blockchains that use, you know, the traditional technology of blockchains, it kind of sets those aside and it creates a whole new way and new protocol, if you will, to run a blockchain. And therefore they were able to patent the code and they're the only ones that are able to use it in the United States. Maybe, you know, I don't know where else it's patented, but I know in the United States, that's how it is. There's a coin called Tezos. Tezos is something that it's a blockchain that's able to actually amend itself. And without having to do what's called a hard fork. I know I haven't explained that yet. I will be doing a video on soft fork versus hard fork and all that's involved with that. But essentially, Tezos, if something goes wrong in the past, you don't have to start a whole new chain or a whole new diversion off of that blockchain. It can be amended. Now there's a benefit to something like that because it's like, hey, if I got to go back and change this transaction, then there you go. But there's also a deficit to something like that because it's kind of the power of the blockchain is that it can't be changed. It is forever there. But as we've come to find with something like Bitcoin or Ethereum, because both of those networks have had hard forks in the past, it becomes needed and it eventually has to happen. And then you have blockchains or coins that are like stable coins, right? We've talked about stable coins in the podcast. I'll link it in the description below. But those are different kinds of stable coins. You have USDC, which is backed 1-to-1. It is, and so in theory, you put a dollar in, that dollar is saved in a bank account. And if you withdraw it out, that is going to go right to there or right back to you. Versus a stable coin that is backed by another blockchain and that is cryptographically evened out, if you will. So it's backed by Bitcoin, right? So like DAI, or you know, DAI is how it's is the ticker, that is backed by the Ethereum blockchain. And so every it just algorithmically essentially is adding DAI or taking DAI away from the whole blockchain so that it is equivalent to the Ethereum's value of a dollar, right? And then there's another one called DOT. That's a really common one, Polkadot. The ticker is DOT. And that is for connecting blockchains just in general. So Quant was on the Ethereum network. DOT is just for connecting different networks and blockchains. And so because as more of these are created, you know, if General Mills had their own blockchain and if Amazon had their own blockchain, at some point, then those blockchains are going to need to be connected. Well, that's a problem that needs to be solved. DOT's there to solve that problem. So coins, they have different uses. They have different utilities. But that is the first thing that I look at when I think about investing in a coin is this a problem? One, is this a problem that is prevalent in the world? And is this a problem that involves a lot of money? So I'm a big believer in something like XRP because there's a lot of transactional money that's involved. Anywhere that there is a lot of money, the real estate market, cross-border payments, retail transactions, there needs to be something in the crypto world that solves the basic problems of it. Right now we have a problem, as I put it in air quotes, of credit card companies taking 3.5%. There's a lot of places that I know that don't even take any cash. So who's going to come in there and disrupt that industry? Maybe the credit card companies are going to be their own disruptors and they're going to develop a blockchain that uses it and still try and control that so they can still get their 3.5%. But who knows, maybe if something is able to get adopted and if you're able to bring it into the retail market, then you could really bring that 3.5% down instead of it going up. Because I think it actually went up to 4.5% this last year. Like I always think it's so dumb that I have to go to the DMV to transfer my car title, right? And so if there's a lot of money that ends up going into the DMV, you know, just simply for that, or into the government for renewing, you know, your tabs or doing all the various things that you have to do at the DMV. Why couldn't all that be put in the blockchain? That is a whole lot of people and a whole lot of money that solves a whole lot of problems. And so having a coin, but obviously because that is government regulated, it has to be government controlled for whatever coin that might be. But who knows, maybe something like the Tezos blockchain that needs to have a place for amendments and whatever. Maybe if the government is able to step onto a blockchain like that, create their own token, each state would have their own deed token for whatever the car is, and you could transfer it and send it to different states. And then the Polkadot would connect whatever blockchain is connected from that Tezos blockchain, and you could transfer stuff that way. I digress because I'm getting kind of into the weeds. But the point is that these coins do have different functions. Researching that, understanding that is what's going to get you to understand if it's going to be a good investment or not. And that's where I'm going to leave it today. So if you guys have any questions, definitely leave it in the comments below or put it in the poll that I have on Spotify. But you know, you can also leave a review. I would really appreciate it. Get this out to whoever. Send this to somebody that you think should get to understand crypto. And if you've been following the podcast for a while, you see kind of the change of venue that you have. So shout out to Minneapolis Podcast Studios. They actually film and record and edit this whole podcast. Definitely check them out online, mplspodcast.com. And you can book a session there and come film your own podcast right here in this studio. Thanks, guys. And we will see you in the next one.